We, as Riley has said, have been talking about what it means to live a life together as the people of God. I'm just going to make sure I've got my things in order. The first person we had speaking about that a fortnight ago was Russell Bartlett, and he talked about being disciples. So he called them apprentices of Jesus. So he talked about how we don't do that individually, but together we apprentice to Jesus, we learn. So I guess we're students together, in a life together as the people of God. And then last week, Riley talked about community, how we're called to be a community together as a people of God. And that's really exciting too. And he talked about some of the barriers we might face with being a community together. And today, I get to talk about the fact we are called to be family as the people of God together. So, first off, what is family? I wonder if you could turn to someone near you who is not a member of your immediate family, because that's a little bit cheaty-cheaty, and I'd like you to discuss or throw about some words that describe family for you. So turn to someone near you and talk about what does family mean to you. What are some words that come to mind when you think of family? Okie dokie. I'm sure we could probably continue the next 40 minutes chatting like this, but if you could swizzle back around. And now I'd love to hear who could call out some of the words that were talked about in your chatting. Love? Connection? Oh, was that Murray? Dysfunction? Yeah. Anything else? What was that, sorry? Nurturing? No choice. Trust? Stability, patience? Love covers a multitude of sins? Disconnection. Forgiveness, friendship? Longing. Blessing. Shared experiences. Safety, was it? Yeah. That's quite a mixed bag, isn't it? There's some beautiful ones, isn't it? The deep connection and the heart of what it is to be a human and to be connected to another human. But at the same time, there's these really hard ones, those big emotions of disconnect, longing, regret could be another one too, couldn't it? Fractured, complicated, keeping up appearances. Disengaged, hurtful, self-absorbed. They're also words that could be used about family too. And I guess I want to acknowledge that the concept and the reality of family can actually bring up some pretty strong emotions. And that's because family, like all of relationships, became fatally flawed once humans went their own way in the Garden of Eden. And so I know when we come to talk about family, it's easy to come with your view and experience of family in mind. And some of you might even be cringing at the thought of hearing a sermon about family. But let me remind you of the truth of how God actually created family. He created us to be in close and loving relationships where we are known and can be known and can know others, where we develop and flourish, where we work together for God and for good. And this is actually the blueprint of family that we're talking about. So instead of going from, oh, you know, I don't like family because my experience, actually going, all families fall short of what was actually created. And so we actually aspire to that. And actually through God, he is actually restoring, through Jesus, all relationships, including family relationships to himself. So we can be a part of that restoration process. To take heart in that we're actually involved in the restoration of family. So before we delve into what the Bible says about Christians being family, Let's talk about the culture where the New Testament was written. Because ancient Mediterranean times are actually quite different to 21st century Western culture, in case you weren't aware. I haven't seen many robes lately in church, so I'm sure you probably realize that. Society at that time was based on the premise that the group took priority over the individual. They're a very group-centric society. And of groups, the most important group of people were your blood relatives. Unlike our society today, which we think about our core relationships, probably marriage or your life partner or romantic partner would be your closest relationship. Whereas that wasn't the case in families in that time, it was actually the bond between siblings. Disloyalty to a sibling far outweighed the betrayal of disloyalty to a spouse. So that is where the context we're looking into when we look into the New Testament. And so in that context, Jesus busts a pretty big move. In Mark 3, he gets asked, where's your mother and your brothers? And he's surrounded by a massive group of people. So where are the ones you're most deeply connected to? And he gives a new definition of family membership. Who are my father and brothers? Well, whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. That would be so revolutionary, hey? Saying that the spiritual connection he has with those people around him has become the closest of all human relationships. That would have been both scandalous and mind-blowing. And also, how can Jesus, Son of God, just claim close connection with, like, a bunch of humans? Well, Paul speaks about how Jesus himself brought it about. In Ephesians 1, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Isn't that amazing? We're adopted into the family of God. And that's not only by name, it's not only by a signing of paper like it would be in our context, but we're adopted through the blood of Jesus. And by that happening, we're actually transformed into his family. It's like receiving a radical blood transfusion, which actually alters our very DNA. How cool would that be? We are adopted and connected not only with God the Father and Jesus our big brother, but also with each other. We are connected at a core level to Christians all around the world and throughout time. St. Augustine was your brother. Martin Luther, your brother. How cool is that? But in addition to that, we're also called to be closely and practically connected to a bunch of Christians around us, the local church. Now, sometimes church gets compared to other community connecting groups. Have you noticed that? Who are you involved with? Is it the Probus? Is it church? Is it the tennis club? But there's lots of sporting clubs, there's lots of theatre clubs, community action groups. But the family of God is more than just a club of people with similar interests. In fact, that's the strange thing about the family of God. It actually includes people who we actually are not like. I think it's fair to say that there are people in this church family that are not like me at all. In fact, that can be a great thing. That also, I know, is a point of frustration to a lot of people. Riley, it's fair to say that we are nothing alike. There's times that he shakes his fist and goes, Sarah, at my last minuteness or my too many ideas. But there's something pretty exciting about the fact that if it wasn't for our uniting faith, the thing that connects us together, we wouldn't have any natural connection. And yet, even though that's the case, we can have deep love and affection for each other. The fact that we are family means we're connected on a deeper and a stronger and a more everlasting level. It's not always easy though, and I think we need to acknowledge that. Differences can be hard and they can be strong. But I was thinking this week, and I got a visual that I think will be helpful, and it's actually helped me to think through a few things. Can I grab Poppy, Amos, and Leon up here? You see that Leon's sporting a freshly shaven face because last night he had a dirty mo, and I didn't want to actually stand out the front, guys. I didn't want to keep that on. Anyway, so here's Poppy and Amos. They are great friends. They have been since they were little. They share similar interests. They like hanging out together. They laugh an awful lot. Until recently, they shared a room together. They really quite enjoy each other's company. But not always. Sometimes they fight. Sometimes they disengage. Sometimes they actually hurt each other pretty significantly. Sometimes they're distant and disinterested. But luckily, Amos and Poppy are more than just friends. They are family. They share the same parents. And when they were younger and they were having arguments and disagreements, we would call them to us on the couch. And at first, they would sit there and we'd put one into each arm. And at first, they wouldn't necessarily like that, and it was quite hostile, but as we sort of spoke to each one of them, often just affirmed them or hugged them or loved them, and was in their presence, they actually, there was a sense of closeness that developed again. And often in the end, by the end of that session of couch sitting and being with each other and being with the parent, there was a reconnection again of closeness. Look, it was that easy, guys. That's my parenting 101. No. But I think this has been a really special picture for me in my mind this week, because God, I think, does the same with us. We can be really close naturally with each other, but we can also become really distant, and we can also have friction and rub and be hurt by one another. But God calls each of us to himself. And as we spend time with God, we can actually look over and realize that the person we really, really either were hurt by or were aggravated by is actually sitting under God's other arm. And as he calls us each individually to himself, there's a closeness that naturally happens with each other. And so I think just perhaps take that in your mind today, if nothing else, that maybe the person that, you know, maybe if you're having some struggles with someone, you need to actually just spend time with God and reform in your mind how you see that person as someone who's also being called into a close relationship with God as well. Thank you, Timco family. The model family. Not at all. I'm sure you've seen enough of our family over the last 8 years of us being in this church that you know that we struggle as much as anyone when it comes to family relationships and all those tricky words we said earlier. So, practically speaking, what does it look like to live as the family of God? I read a book this week by Joseph Hellerman called When the Church Was a Family. Pretty topical. And he had really great little practical point in there that I would like to share with you today. He's looked through the New Testament and he said there's four key family values that come out of the New Testament around family. So I'd love to talk about them today. The first point is that we, from the New Testament, it talks about how we share our stuff with one another. It's probably the most basic part of being a Christian brother and sister is the sharing of resources. And it's a similar theme. If you've read any of the New Testament, you probably know that. I mean, Acts, it talks about all believers being with one heart and one mind. No one claimed any of their possessions as their own, but they shared everything they had. And the Apostle John, he actually thought this was such a crucial thing that he said in 1 John 3:16 and 17, "We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person?" That's pretty intense, but that's how the Apostle John saw things. It was so integral about who we are that we would naturally share our stuff. Many of you will probably know that over the last probably 4 years, it's been a really tricky time for Leon and subsequently our family. He's had significant back pain and surgeries and ongoing pain and issues with medication and all that stuff, suffice to say, has had a real weight on our family. And many of you know that because there's been so many times when you have shared stuff with us. There's people who have been envelopes of money that have come in at just the right time to pay that big bill. There's been people who've come over and mowed lawns. There's been people who've just had meals or had my kids or all that stuff. We have been so blown away by the love of family that you've shared with us in super practical ways. And it's the interesting thing is, it's not just that we've been blessed and that you listen to God's voice in blessing us, but Leon and I have had opportunity to share with our friends who are not of faith. Our kids go to local primary school and they've got lots of non-Christian friends, and we've been able to share what our church family has, how they've blessed us, and our friends have been blown away. They, like, what? Who would do that? What? They were being, and so what the verse that Riley was talking about, by this, all people will know you're my disciples when you love one another. So we have had the opportunity of witnessing on behalf of you about God's love because of what you did for us. How cool is that? Amen. So that's our story. But I know, hopefully this has been flicking over ideas and situations in your mind where you've been a blessing to someone or where you've been blessed by someone. So I just want to encourage you guys, keep it up. I know we're not all connected and some of us are newer, but seek ways in blessing each other practically. Because what we have is not our own. It belongs to the family. And we are family. And also, maybe you might need encouragement today to be open about your needs. I think it's fair to say Leon and I prefer to be on the giving end than the receiving end. I think it's probably similar for most of us. It's a bit more safe to give. But I want to encourage you to be open with your brothers and sisters here about your needs and be expected to be blessed and overwhelmed at the love that's returned when you do that. Number two, so we share our stuff and we share our hearts with one another. In the New Testament, there's a huge emotional connection between the family of faith. Paul writes in Philippians 1, "My dear brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown." That's pretty emotional, isn't it? And when Paul was writing to the new Greek Christians in Thessalonica, he uses similar language, and he's talking about the new Christians, and he got thrown out of town because of people not liking what he said, and so he's having to write to them to sort of go, "Oh, these are things I didn't get to say," and they were having a tough time because the Christians were persecuted. And so in 1 Thessalonians 3:6 to 10, he says, "But now Timothy has just arrived, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you again. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again to fill the gaps in your faith." This emotional closeness wasn't just all the feels. The closeness brings a deep concern for the brothers and sisters' spiritual well-being. He wants to know that they're going well, that they're continuing strong in the faith. Paul's own joy and sorrow was connected to the Thessalonians' spiritual status. But also, this emotional closeness produces corresponding action. Paul sent Timothy to see how he was going, to see how the Thessalonian family was doing. So it's emotion that brings a desire for the well-being of someone and the spiritual well-being of someone, and then that produces action. So it's not just the feels, it's actually action producing. Again, Leon and I have experienced that on the roller coaster of emotions that is chronic pain and illness in family. I've been blown away by how caring people have been and the deep emotion of feeling what we feel with us. And the Monday morning prayer group, which Riley mentioned, they've been so faithful in offering us up to God and asking for his mercy and his care of us. And that's just been so amazing for our family. And that in turn develops that friendship, like actually having that emotional connection. Then it's that upward cycle of really, when you have that care and that you do those actions, and then it increases the care and increases the action. And it's just been, I've seen our friendships with people blossom over that time because of that. So I wonder again what emotional connection in church looks like to you. Maybe you've got some amazing stories, and you probably do. Or maybe you don't, and there's a sadness there. But take heart. We would love to share that with you. We would love to emotionally care for you and walk with you as a family. So let me encourage you. Let's continue to do that. Let's keep seeking to share our hearts with one another, to rejoice or be sad together. And let this closeness spur us on to acting in love towards each other. The third point that Joe makes is we stay, we embrace the pain, and we grow up with one another as a family value. We stay, embrace the pain, and grow up with one another. Have you noticed that we don't pick our biological family? And although you may have chosen this church for its worship or for its something, whatever reason you came to this church to be a part of this family, essentially, you don't actually get to pick who's in the church. There's great people and great culture in different families, but there's also awkward people and awkward culture in each family as well. And that's the same with churches. Each has a different flavour, but each has its own good and its own awkward. And it's one of those things, you take the mixed bag for what it is. It can be confronting when there's parts of a church or life or particular people that rub us the wrong way. But we need to remember again, this is not a club. This is a family. We don't choose to sign up or not sign up for next season. No, I think I'm going to give this year a miss. This is a family. We stay. Sometimes in the letters to the Christians in the Christian church in the New Testament, there were reasons why they parted companies. But that's far outweighed by the extensively numerous times that Paul encourages Christians to stay, stick it out, and work out your differences. He encourages them to stay in their faith, keep on going, and work out their issues. We need to acknowledge that this side of heaven, being close to anyone will bring emotional pain. Friendship, marriage, family, they're all alike in that way. While Jesus came to restore relationships, it's still a work in progress until he comes again. So I guess I want to encourage you, in case you need encouraging, to drop your rosy idea of family. I guess you know that about biological family, but to remember again for our spiritual family here. It's going to be tricky, there's going to be pain. But we stay and we embrace that pain because we grow up with one another. There is beauty in the longevity of relationships. People grow. And it's a blessing to experience and watch the spiritual, emotional, and physical growth and changes in each other. I wonder if you've been blessed by someone journeying with you throughout the years of your faith. Have you been blessed by experiencing and assisting with someone to grow and develop in faith? Not to make it about Leon and I, but I guess I can only speak of my own experience. Leon's and I have had the pleasure of having in this faith family people from another previous faith family we're in. The Ides, the Stewarts, Don and Julie Anderson. They actually grew up with, well, Leon grew up with them in Bordertown Church of Christ. They knew Leon as a young teen when he entered their church and then progressed and knew him as quite an unruly and a teen and a young adult who needed a lot of grace. And then he grew up further, he led the youth group, and then I came along and we had some kids. And then we moved to Adelaide and then suddenly we reunited here years later. And I can't speak for their experience of that, but we have been so blessed that they stuck with Leon and they encouraged him when they could have, you know, kicked out the rambunctious and rebellious young man. But they walked with him. They opened doors for him. They allowed him to be and to grow and to know that there was change in the wings. It wasn't like it would always be. And that's so exciting. And yeah, and thank you guys for that. That's pretty special. So who can you give a second chance to? Who can you see the potential growth in? Who have you been blessed by? Because that blessing goes both ways. It's always reciprocal. It's not just, oh, look, I've just been so gracious with him. It is back and forth. It is in and under and over that we all grow and we all change. And that's why we stay. That's why we embrace the pain, because we grow when we're together. The fourth point is about the family is more than just our immediate biological relationships. I guess we've already touched on that with the importance of the brother-sister relationships in the New Testament. But I think it's really important to reiterate that brother-sister relationships in the family of God will endure into the life to come, when marriages won't. They are more lasting, really. And the problem is we live in a very nuclear, family-centric society. But if we're to take the biblical writing seriously, we're called to share those close bonds with our faith siblings. And that's so countercultural, it's actually really scary to do. But there's also blessing in that. Glennon Doyle, who's a writer that encourages a lot of women and young girls, she says about friendship groups, let's sit in horseshoes, not circles. And I thought that's a really great analogy for us, because sometimes I feel like our nuclear families, and speaking as someone who has a family, husband, wife and kids, classic, that we are closed. I even hear some of my friends, and I'm not putting down, but they say, oh yeah, look, when they have their last baby, yeah, that's us, that's completed our family. And I know what they mean. They mean, don't ask us if we're having another one. But I feel that's really sort of, and closed. That's us done. There we are. But how about our nuclear families? How about if we live in horseshoes, not circles? That there's always room for others. And I want to say, I'm really sorry if there's people here who aren't partners, who, for whatever reason, breakdown of relationships or singleness or death or whatever it is, that you felt left out because there's little clusters of families. And I want to commit, and I'd love us all to commit to being open with our nuclear families, knowing that our greater bond is actually between faith siblings, and have a reality of what that looks like. Horseshoes, not circles. And when you do that, it's not just when we're just blessing the single person. There is deep blessing to be had. In our life group, we've got people of all ages and stages who come and all walks of life. And we are blessed just as much by having everyone in our home as much as they are to be with us. So I guess I'd just like to encourage A lot of encouragement today. I like encouragement. Encourage us to seek to develop those close relationships. And we can do that by coming and meeting on a Sunday. I know life's busy, but not to race off, but to actually get to know each other, to make an effort to meet this new sibling that you may not know yet, but who may be such a blessing that you don't realise. But also, there's small groups. We've got a few, but we could have so many more life groups meeting during the week. They can look so different. I mean, ours looks quite chaotic because that's what life looks like with a young family, and also when you engage with the Timcos, that's just what life looks like. But there's other different ones, and so each small group with different personalities will just have a certain flavour, and that's okay. But that's one way. It's really hard for me and for anyone to know 200 people, but to deeply know and be known by a small number is really quite a blessing. So can I encourage you to talk to Riley or me or one of our elders if you're interested in meeting up, whether that's during the day, at night, and we can find a way of that happening, and we can really pray about what that would look like. So finally, to wrap up, I had one more passage, and it actually was one we read in DJ Riley's mix-up, mash-up of, of songs, oh, not songs, of Bible verses. Romans 12, 9-13. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection. Take delight in honouring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much that you draw us to yourself on that couch. Big brother Jesus, we thank you that you made that possible and you propel us there even when we don't want to be. We thank you that we're not there alone, that it's not just a personal relationship with you, but it's one that we share with all our siblings. Thank you for the deep connection that can be had in spiritual brother and sisterhood. And we want to acknowledge our hurts and our pains because of times when those relationships have gone sour and have been hurtful. Please help to comfort us, and maybe even to reunite us. Thank you that love doesn't have to be something that we rustle up inside of ourselves, but it flows through us because we have your blood and your DNA now. We are in your family, and your love comes out of us to those around us. Please help us to share our stuff, to share our hearts, to stay, to keep on loving when it hurts, and to grow up and to watch others grow. And help us to be open with our close relationships, to be welcoming, and to form even deeper connections. In your amazing name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.